Again, if anyone is with me for take two of the Social Distance Social Club day 39. The reason why it's take two is because I've gone to a new location on the premises. And it should be working. So in the grand traditions of turn it off, then turn it on again, I turned it off and now I've turned it on again. If it's continuing to be grainy and continuing to be poor signal, we'll return over there just as soon as I've fed the fish. So hello again. Very clear now. I think that a lot of people are using the internet a lot, and sometimes you just hit a bad bit of gubbins, and it's nothing to do with my signal. My signal is currently saying that it's very good. How are you? It's very hot. In the spirit of it being hot, I'm wearing my Jordan. Oh. Wrong side. The image is reversed. I'm in my Jordan t-shirt, which I think is one of my proudest t-shirts. I met the prince, you know. We went to Jordan and we did a horseback archery competition. It was my first horseback archery competition. And I've got a whole story that I tell on my rider confidence course of how nervous I was, even though I've been doing horse archery for 10 years. I've got my own school. I send students off. I go... When it actually came to me, it's taken me almost 10 years of working to allow myself the time off and the money to afford to go away. Finally, I got into a world competition. And of course, I was extremely nervous. Of course I was, because there was loads of people there who all knew me from the internet. And here we are. I've got a good internet space. And here we are. And I might actually go home having not hit anything at all. And it was nerve-wracking, and the television cameras were right in your face and broadcasting it to a screen as big as those trees. It was huge, every last little bit. But there we are. So that's quite a valuable anecdote from my own life about my own coping with nerves that I can then pass over and put in the context of someone else coping with nerves over something that I find really easy, such as riding your horses. There we are. So after the competition, we rode all the military police's horses, which was nice. And we got to meet the Crown Prince. And it was marvellous. What a nice man. And Jordan, who would have known what a nice place that is? I mean, it's surrounded by Syria, Iraq, Israel, and I can't remember what's the other one. And it's the most funky, proud, almost like very much a university town. The kids are all groovy with their little bit of dyed hair. And the music scene was really good. And it was just so much more liberated than Morocco, say. Not liberated is the wrong word. That's just said that, and I find that quite patronizing. It was just great. It was just great. There we are. There we are. Bear with me. I'm still in the process of feeding the fish. So I'll just get on with that. You'll have to excuse me.
There's a story behind me.
Hey, I'll come and look. Come and look at the fish. There's a story behind this fish. There's a story behind everything. You see that? They are beauties.
Thank you.
sticks there for them. I've got some fish balls. I'll put that at the right angle. Can you see that? Little goldfish there that can't eat the full bit. Yeah. It's elaborate. See the filter there. That should be running better than that. Turn off the pump. The drain here. It just gets clogged up with this blanket weed stuff. It grows on the pond. That's quick clean. Run a little bit of water through. I'll leave you all in a minute. Oh, that's green. Yeah. There we are, that was that. Hopefully, signal here under the there's a storage on these fish. That's a bit nice under the shade. It's getting a bit hot nowadays. Sorry everybody, talk amongst yourselves. It is the social club after all, so my presentation from the social club is all about fish today and Jordan. Sort this microphone out and then you can hear me a bit better, maybe. Okay, getting there. And here it doesn't totally destroy the food. There they are. Hello. Oh, look at me relaxing with my friends on the social club. This is very good, isn't it? There we are. How's the signal? Signal is looking, it's looking poor now, and I swear we've come all of 10 yards. Oh, well. Keep me informed how the signal's going. Not super impressed by that. That one looks. That BT hole home has been rubbish. If you've got these discs that you put around your house, ever since we've got it, it hasn't worked properly. The app doesn't work. You can't get through to BT. It's not been very good at all. There we are. Hello, everybody. How are we? Have we got a clear signal now? It's looking quite good now. Lovely. Hello, hello, hello. So, shall I tell you the story about the fish? Oh, yes, you can hear me. So, that's looking a bit better now. Okay, can everybody hear me? Or is the water too much? There's nothing I can do about it. So, the fish. So, as you know, well, you might not know, we've got a company that has performance horses, and the performance horses usually do shows, do Jigatovka shows. We used to do jousting shows and things like that. I'm a bit far away. We used to do jousting shows, and we also do a bit of filming, and every now and then the horses get hired to be in photo shoots and stuff like that. So, anyway, we got the wolves, and
that was just kind of coincidence, and we started hiring out the wolves. And then we got an email saying, could we supply some large koi carp to go on a gardening show? And it was like one of these competitions, and someone had chosen a water theme. Had we got 5 large koi carp? So, of course, we said yes, and we were going to get these fish, and we were going to do the job, and it was a repeat booking, and then we'd sell the fish, and there you go, we keep the money. You can see where this is going already. So we bought the fish, and we took them to the job, and we put them in the water, and they did the job, and we took them away. We kept them for 6 weeks, took them back, put them back in for the second day of filming for the repeat, and there we are, did the filming, and then it came time to sell them. And I had a discussion with my wife, Zana, and I was saying, we cannot keep the fish because we're a horse company. We also do the wolves, but we're a horse company. It'd be all right if we were in an animal agency, but we're not. So we have to sell the fish. And because my word is law in my household, sure enough, if you now go on the stampedestuntcompany.co.uk website, you will see that we are indeed now an animal agency. So that's nice that I got listened to. We've got fish, tegus, which is a kind of a tame, huge lizard, a bit like one of those huge monitor lizards, but a lot friendlier and a lot smaller at the moment. Peacocks. We've got the wolves, of course. We've got cats. We've got the fish. We've got canaries, variegated canaries, canaries that look like wild birds, so that you, because you can't use wild birds in a film. We've got a panther chameleon, poison dart frogs, the macaw, the parrotlets, the parakeets, and all the farmyard animals as well. So there you go. And that's why I'm sitting by the fish pond. There we are. So, oh, I need to put the invite on. If anybody would like to, I just went off on a little reminisce there. Putting the invite on. Copy to clipboard. Okay. Let me just write this down here. If you would like to ask a question or offer advice, then click this link. Anybody who's been on the show before knows how very, very easy it is. You just click the link. Your picture comes up in a kind of grayed out area so that we can make sure that your picture's good and your sound is on before you join the show, so that you don't be fumbling in front of people. And it's that easy. And you just join in and just say what you want to say. So if you look in the chat column or in the comments, it should come up. If you would like to ask a question, click on that and ask your question. Once again, I am sorry that I cannot reply to any written questions, but the whole point is, as part of helping people digitize what might be perceived as a bricks and mortar business, if you're a physiotherapist, personally I was a horse instructor, you know, these are things that don't have a digital internet arm to the business at first glance. But this lockdown has shown us that we need to be thinking out of the box. We need to be getting digitized. If this lockdown happens again, we're not going to be caught on the hop again. We're just going to have something else already set up that we can lean into and make the most of that, make the most of this time in lockdown. Because let's face it, I wouldn't be doing this social club if it wasn't for lockdown, and if I hadn't already started in a very small way the internet side of my business. And small way just means I wrote a book and sold it. The first step was just to make helpful videos and put them out. There we are. Started that 3 years ago. But now that I know what I know about digitizing your business, I could have got to this stage in 6 months. So there we are. So there we are. That's why I'm doing that. This is all about learning on the go, learning with you so that you can see me struggle away and try new locations and try different platforms. I'm currently using StreamYard, which automatically goes out to YouTube and Facebook. Obviously, YouTube, it's a video platform. I can't be answering the written comments because I might as well just do Facebook Lives then, which I do continue to do anyway. So there we are. Okay, if you would like to ask a question, click on the link. There we are. Lovely. Hello to everybody. Thank you very much for joining. We've got Sarah and Kerry and David and Sean and Marie and Annabella and Sarah and Tracy and Johanna and Annabella and Alison and Sarah and Alex and Alison again and me. There we are. Lovely. Click on the link, ask a question. Until then, or if nobody's going to join the show, you never can tell. So I had a very interesting conversation with one of my Mounted Division Ultimate Rider Confidence course members. This is an online course. And it was super interesting. So it all starts off easily enough with my thoughts on trotting in a circle. When I train a horse, I find trotting in a circle, especially if the horse is new, trotting in a circle is possibly one of the most difficult exercises to get right. It's very easy to fall round in a trot, but to actually trot in a circle with the correct weight of the horse on the hindquarters and the horse the correct amount on the bit and the consistency and the bend and the distractions and the horse wanting to look out of the arena and not bend properly or motorbike in, especially if it's a new relationship between you and your horse. I find that super difficult to get consistent. And I, for me, this is just the way I train, and you can be completely different if you want to. For me, everything comes from trotting a nice circle. Until I can trot a nice circle, there's absolutely no reason to deviate off and start trying other things because I haven't got the A of alphabet down. I haven't got the first step. Just trotting that circle round and round and round. And then, of course, if you want to go on to the second level, you've got to trot a nice circle the other way. And then comes the challenge of trotting a nice circle and doing your two circles that are joined. And, of course, you've got to change the diagonal and change the bend and change and change and change. Then I've got my two circles going and I'll just separate them. So I've got circle, 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 circle. And then over here, circle, 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 circle. And then over here. And that traveling between one circle and another is the start of my straight line. So the horse is quite content in its circle, circle, circle. And I sort of sneak a tiny little straight line in and sneak a tiny little straight line in. And gradually those deviations from the very simple become more and more exaggerated in different gates, and eventually that becomes all that I do. So not all that I do, as in I don't do anything else. Everything that deviating from the circle becomes everything that I do. And so that's how we learn straight lines. Once we've got our straight lines and our stops and our reverses and our serpentines and our figure eights and everything, and then maybe figure eighting and then going out of the arena gate, doing a little circle and coming back in the arena gate, just a little deviation. That's the start of learning to hack and carrying on out. And I've got a little hack that goes out. But it all comes from that routine, 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 boring, boring, routine, routine. Constantly telling the horse No, you're not looking out the arena because someone's walking past. It's like, tweet, tweet, get this bend back. Go on, get on, get on, get on, get on. Put your foot there. Yes, put your foot there. Yes, put your foot there. Yes, put your next foot there. Yes. That's it. Take a step. That's it. No, not like that. And these constant little corrections back onto the right path teaches the horse that the commands are there and they need to get back on the path, because otherwise I'm just going to continue to ask. And then the path of least resistance for the horse is to continue on the path. By the time we get out onto the hack, even the little one, there's going to be loads of distractions. And my body language doesn't change at all since I'm going on a hack. It's absolutely the same, because my hack is like, it starts in the arena, goes out the gate, through the yard, through another gate, through into the woods, go along, turn left, turn left, turn left again, and oh, lo and behold, we're back in the yard. Do a little circle, go back in the arena, start your little circles again, nothing's happened. So that routine for me is only going to happen with discipline. My discipline, not the horse's discipline, the discipline on myself. Because horses react well to routine, so you don't want to keep them on the toes because today you're going to train them at 5 o'clock in the morning and tomorrow you're going to train them at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Obviously, if your work dictates that, then that's the way it's going to have to be. But if you possibly can, the more you can stick to a routine, the happier the horses will be. And then deviating from that routine is the bit that trains them. So, yes, we do load the horses up at 4 a.m. to go to a show and so forth. But that's a deviation from our normal routine. And there we go. So if you're going to have that discipline, then you will move on better and better. So the joy of having a horse that is happy in its work, knows what it's doing, enjoys the deviations which eventually become the hack, that joy of having happy, obedient horses is what pulls me forward and makes me excited to go and do the same routine again. It makes me excited because I can see where we're going. So the conversation that I had with one of my Mounted Division Ultimate Rider Confidence course, which is a online course, 3 months long, and you don't come here at all. And this person happens to be in America, so of course they're not going to come here. They said that they were waiting before riding their horse any further for a new safety helmet to come in. So it was like, I will do it when this next criteria is satisfied. I will do it when this next criteria is satisfied. Even though they had a perfectly good old safety helmet that was perfectly functional and nothing wrong with it, hadn't been dropped or anything like that, but it was just the old one. So on the one hand, we had the criteria that hadn't been fulfilled that you could interpret to be, I'm not going to ride my horse today because this criteria hasn't been fulfilled and I wanted it fulfilled. And that is the resistance. And that comes from worrying about the what ifs and the fact that you just don't want to do it for negative reasons. On the other hand, we've got the joy that comes from the discipline of doing it, and there would be nothing wrong in applying that discipline to yourself so that the horse gets the routine in the old helmet until the new helmet arrives. I've got a little phrase where the bricks of your palace of horse confidence, the bricks that make up your ability, is your knowledge of riding, which you get from your instructor in the beginning and then you get from your experiences, your animal husbandry, so that you know not to shut the horse in a box for a week, feeding it a load of food and expect it to behave, These knowledges are the bricks, but the mortar that builds the palace that you want to live in is that discipline. And that discipline is brought to you by acknowledging that there's a joyous part, which I've just described, the joy of having a happy horse full of routine, and we deviate away from this and the horse is absolutely well behaved. I know exactly what the horse is going to do. We've had years together of constant routine. That joy is lovely. When people are going, oh, your horse is absolutely lovely, I'm going, yeah, he's an absolute joy to ride, and you just feel totally at ease with that horse because you put the work in years and years and years and years ago. Turn that joy up. And the bit that's saying, oh, this criteria hasn't been filled, therefore I'm going to not ride the horse, turn that down. And the best way to turn that down, in fact, you ignore that completely and you just continue to turn the joy up and turn the joy up. Like when you got the workmen outside and they're hammering away and all you do is you just put on your favorite record and turn it right up, which for me would probably be Appetite for Destruction. Well, there you go. Right. Anyway, that's enough for me waffling on. Having said waffling on, I believe this to the very core of my being, and it's not waffling on at all. It's so fundamental. Turn up the joy and you will find the discipline to do the routine. Anyway, let's go to our first friend who joined us, Alex. Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Oh, and I can hear you.
Sorry, I'm looking at the other screen, which is a bit confusing, but you've That's kind of good, sort actually. Of answered my question same. Anyway, I think.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it was about the hacking. So I think your discipline thing has kind of answered that to a degree, but I'll give you some background anyway, so you know what I'm talking about. I've had my current horse for about 5.5 years now. I bought him as he was like a ex mid-level show jumper, quite a stressy horse, but very sweet natured, very, very kind, very genuine. I've been retraining him for dressage, which he's taken to really well. He's very clever, very bright, which is great in some instances, not so much in others. but hacking, we've done sort of hacking, sort of a fair bit on and off over the years. And I do the repeat. But he has a typical thoroughbred streak in him to a degree, in the fact that sometimes he gets so overly excited or anxious about certain things, it's like he completely loses the ability to function as a normal creature and just blows up completely, and then it's a nightmare, and then we end up bouncing all over the place and I'm getting spun with, he tries to rip my arms out of my sockets, and it can be one day he'll be like that, the next day he'll be a donkey. And I was just wondering if there's any advice or tips or tricks you can give me to sort of help with that.
Only that the more you can keep, if there, I'll say this quite a lot, the more you can keep your laser focus on the job at hand, as if, the reason I laughed is because I did talk about this quite a lot, as if there were, if we were having a film done here, and I've lived this and I know that it's true, and you were getting paid £3,000 to bring your horse and ride it from here to there in a particular manner, in a purposeful trot or a controlled canter or whatever. If you were being paid that money, you would be amazed how well behaved your horse would be. Exactly. The laser focus. My question to you in return then is, do you have are you a different rider or a different person or a different self-image when you get on your horse knowing that you're going to do exercises in the arena and when you get on your horse knowing that you're going for a hack?
Yes, I probably am. I had a very nasty experience quite a few years ago that I'm still sort of getting over, and I've got a lot better, but I know I'm not as confident outside those arena walls as probably he is.
Yeah. There's also an element that this is the leisure time, relaxing time. And people are like, oh, wouldn't it be like nice to go on a hanging on the buckle? And some people, on the days that the horse is behaving, do ride like that. And then, yes, of course,
I can. When he's been good, I can.
And then, of course, there's a spook. The horse jumps sideways. They've been relaxed on the buckle. They fall off, and they say, "What happened there? I was relaxed." But that's the point. You were relaxed in a way that you wouldn't be if you were schooling the horse in the arena, which is why I bring in this little director, because if there was a director saying, right, I want you to school the horse in the arena, leave the gate open, mm-hmm. school the horse, and then go out of the gate, go and do a certain amount of exercises absolutely perfectly. And when I say exercises, it may even be going a straight line from this gate to this tree, stop, reverse, come back again. But your headspace would still be in this, look, horse, I'm telling you to put your left fore there and your right hind there and your left fore there, this amount of bend, this amount of contact. I want one ear pointing towards the center and one ear pointing, and all that absolute. Let's get, oh, don't you pull on my fingers. No, relax, relax. I'm going to push from the back and get him to relax. Oh, that's it. Yes, that little soft spot just there. And then people don't take that out on the hack because it's supposed to be leisure and relaxing time for the horse, and then wonder why the horse behaves differently.
Yeah. No, you're totally right.
Later on, when the horse is your super horse, then we can relax. Then we can start riding on the buckle and this and that and the other. But it's way too late, too early to expect that now.
Yeah.
Did any of that ring true for you and your situation?
Yes, I'd say so. I mean, he's very good in the school and, he can work brilliantly. Although, again, he can sometimes work for about 20 minutes and then have some form of meltdown and be a complete nutter for like 10 minutes and then come back again.
Yeah.
I think that's just who he is to a degree. It's like if he doesn't get something or he's not sure.
That was my next point. Yes.
Yeah. He's quite a worrier. So if he's not sure of something, he'll either try really hard and then get it. He's very bright. Or if he's not sure and he can't get it, then he kind of has a bit of a meltdown and then we have to go away and do something else and come back.
yeah they don't like suddenly finding that they're in charge, and that's the point where we lose them. The head starts going up and down and your fingers start getting yanked out. It's like, oh, I've lost it now. But even more so with every part of my body, I'm acting as if the horse is going to put his left fore there and his right hind there. He's going to have this amount, every amount, so that we don't have that moment of questioning in the first place, because I've already told him. So I don't, in the initial stages, it does change as your horse gets older. You can see in my eyes, I'm reminiscing now about different horses.
So he's 16 now.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Well, I'll take that back then. It does change that you don't need that intense concentration once you've established that you are telling the horse absolutely everything. And there is moments then when you can almost be a passenger and do what most people think that riding is, which is you sit on the horse and the horse goes. You can get that, but that's later. Most of the time you're driving this vehicle and you're saying exactly how it goes, and an awful lot of people don't realize that that's what riding means.
I think it's frustrating for me, because I think it's probably, to be fair to him, it's more my mental block outside the arena. Because it's one of those things, isn't it? I've been riding most of my life since I was a small child, and I'm not a youngling anymore. That there's not really anything he can throw at me that I can't actually deal with, but it doesn't mean I want to have to deal with it.
But some people love that sort of nonsense.
I'm too old for that now.
But some people love that sort of, I don't love it either, but some people, some people just love a challenge of a horse and a little bit of whittery, and when everything goes pear-shaped and you're spinning around and they're going, yee-haw, he's such a character, and then getting him back in order. So there is joy to be had there.
I mean, I don't mind to a degree. I mean, I know everyone always laughs at me and says, but, you know, if you had a horse that literally just went from A to B and you'd never gave you any trouble, I'd be bored out of my mind. Yeah, it probably would be.
Yeah.
You know, the good thing about having that character and that little bit of fire is that obviously when you can focus it where you want it, it's fantastic. But obviously you get the, you know...
Yeah, it's a fine edge before it becomes too much. But if you can appreciate that the joy is on one part, just as I was saying in my introduction. So my question to you is, what's the negative part?
I guess the negative part is just feeling like I can't relax at all on a hack. You know, we work very hard in the school. And again, yes, you know, as you were saying, I probably take him out thinking, oh, this can be nice and relaxing for both of us. And then it obviously isn't. Sometimes it is. I took him out yesterday and he stopped and had a graze and he was completely chilled. The day before, he was an absolute lunatic and tried to spin and bolt with me. So it's like, well, okay. So I think I get the repeating thing. I am just going around, you know, we're quite lucky where I live. We have some fields that the farmer sort of cuts the edges and we can go round them and it's like miles of open fields. It's beautiful. And so I have just been repeating going around the one field and then adding maybe a little tiny thing each time. So the first time, a couple of times we just walked. The second time we maybe had a tiny trot. The third time we managed to have a bit of a trot, but without having my arms ripped out of my sockets, which was a bonus. You know, eventually we might build up to maybe having a little canter if the ground softens a bit. But obviously, yeah, I know what I need to do. I do get that. And I guess that it's just obviously when you are working so hard in the arena, sometimes you obviously need that mental relax as well of going out and just looking at the scenery and enjoying it and all that sort of thing. And obviously I'm not always getting that. And I never quite know what I'm going to get until I actually get there.
So to be mindful of what you do have, to be grateful of what you do have, to appreciate what you do have. What you have is a horse which some days is a little plod, but not all days, so you won't get bored, which is nice. And you thoroughly enjoy it when he is a little plod.
Yeah.
And you've got a horse which some days is a bit more excitable. Well, this is all wonderful. Surely this is perfect. But so there's your joy. There's your mindfulness. Like, actually, now think about it. Yeah, I am lucky. But what's the negative? If you were to say, but what really constantly gets me is.
There is no negative, I suppose. I don't know. I guess it's just the.
Did you say you had an accident years ago?
Yes, I did. Not on him. Actually, to be fair.
Does that play on your mind? Is that the negative?
Possibly. Weirdly, that wasn't out of the arena. That was actually in an arena. But that stopped me from being able to canter at all for many years.
Okay. Just hold on. You just think about what the negative might be. I've got to plug in my computer. Be with you in a minute.
Okay.
Okay, back again. Sorry about that.
It's okay. Okay, so I had a think. Mm-hmm. So I reckon the negative for me is that I feel that I am not being able to do what I maybe used to be able to do a few years ago, and not being able to enjoy the wealth of beautiful scenery that I do have around me as much as other people and as much as I would like to.
Wow, that's quite interesting. Because the solution would be drink it in.
Yeah.
Drink in every last little bit and find every last little bit of joy about the season, the country, the the fact that we're allowed to have horses. Like, if we lived in North Korea, we wouldn't be having horses at all.
Yeah, that would suck.
yeah. Which brings us back to the joy. Turn up the joy. Turn up your stereo with your favourite record and the workman hammering. That's actually quite a good analogy, because you keep saying about the work, and I do the work in the arena, and but you can still have the workman hammering.
Yeah.
And you clearly know subconsciously what to do. You're not remembering what the up down of rising trot is. When do I go up?
No.
So the workman can continue to hammer, mm-hmm. and you can continue to listen to your favorite record, by which I mean, you know what I mean, don't you?
Yeah.
By which everything from the sunshine shining through the tufts on his ears, to the joy in the fact that he's being an ass today, to the joy in the fact that he's not being an ass today. I think turning up the joy, and if you turn up the joy and become mindful and appreciative and gratitude, something that Tony Robbins always, I don't know if you've heard of Tony Robbins, but something that he always says is you cannot be grateful and fearful at the same time.
No, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yep. Yeah.
So there okay. we go. So for well, actually, I'll speak to the whole audience today. For today, tomorrow, make a conscious effort in everything that you do to fully appreciate every moment of the joy. Really emphasize the emotion. When you look, you know, when you look at the horse and he gives you a little nuzzle or whatever, and you go, oh, well, go more than oh. Really appreciate how wonderful it is. Put in that work, and you cannot focus on the negative while you're thinking this is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, in some respects, weirdly, I think this lockdown has actually helped me a bit with that, because normally I'd be stuck. I mean, I'm at home, obviously working from home at the moment, but I'd normally be stuck in an office absolutely miles away from my horse. I wouldn't be able to ride every day because of work all the time. So actually, I've been able to ride nearly every day. I've been able to appreciate wow. the weather, you know, which has been amazing, you know. And so I've obviously got to actually go out on these hacks, whether they be good or bad. When normally I'd be stuck in an office or staring out the window going, oh, that'd be nice.
I think this has been a fascinating conversation, not least because you came up with the answers yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I do know them. I think sometimes it's nice to just kind of get that reassurance that you are kind of wanting to do the right thing, because you know, I do love him to bits. I mean, you know, he's actually helped me get my confidence back massively. I mean, a lot of people would sort of say, you know, how have you got your confidence back on a horse like this? And it's like, well, you know, to be fair, I know the worst he will ever do will just be silly. It's never dangerous. He's not nasty, you know. And I've always say 100%, if I ever fell off him, I would put my hands up. I know it'd be my fault, not
yeah.
his.
Yeah.
So, you know, whereas the previous horse wanted to kill me quite regularly. So that was a completely different kettle of fish.
It is. And again, to anybody, I think I brought this up a couple of days ago. Someone was having trouble. Their horse was more forward than they liked. Mm. And the question was, is it exuberance or is it dangerous? And sometimes the only way to find out is to ask other people, because you get caught up in the struggle, don't you? Before someone says, you know what?
Very much like that. Yeah.
I had this horse for 7 years and there was something not right with it. And finally, I got rid of it. So, it's lovely. I think you've supplied all your own answers there. And genuinely, find some way, even if you have to imagine a dial of gratitude and appreciation and mindfulness, and literally imagine yourself turning it up and a little meter going up and turning it up and turning it up, ignoring the dial about the work. It doesn't matter how much work there is or isn't to do.
Yeah,
and really enjoy it, work and all.
Okay, brilliant. Yeah, I can do that.
Lovely. Let's know how you get on.
Yeah, we'll do, definitely. Yeah, it'd be great. Like I say, he's also he's very, very forward going, as you were sort of saying earlier. So that is just the way he is. He's quite a forward going horse, and most people sort of say, I wouldn't get on him, but actually, he's fine. He's just an idiot.
But from the way you're talking, we can see your competence shining through.
Oh, thank you.
just from the way you're talking. Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice. Thank you.
It's all right.
I do hope you get back to us and let us know how you got on.
Oh, I will do. Thank you very, very much.
Before we go, how easy was it to get on the chat?
Yeah, absolutely fine. I've been doing a lot of this work, so maybe I'm a little bit more used to it than some people, but yeah, absolutely fine.
Super. Thanks very much, Alex.
Thanks so much, Carl. Nice to meet you.
And you. See you later. Hopefully see you again. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Wow, what a coincidence. It just so happened that what I was talking about was almost exactly that first question. Anyway, there you go. Anybody joining on? So once again, this is a video platform, so I'm afraid I can't respond to any of the written questions. I see there's a couple there, plus I haven't got my glasses, so I can't read them. So if you would like to get onto the StreamYard, let me just give the link one more time. There we are. There's the link. A specialist subject, obviously, is rider confidence. I also dip into the world of horse training, although there's so many different disciplines. My rider confidence advice applies across the board. If you're a Western rider and you have to sit back and long legs and heels down and push on and do whatever you do with the reins, hold them up here in a fist, I don't know, whatever you do. If that's what your instructor says you have to do, I can give you the confidence to do it. But obviously I've had, I don't know how many horses, only around 40-ish, I suppose. So I have got a very limited set of problems that I have encountered and overcome that I can help with. I'm also quite happy to chat about anybody who wants to internet their business and do exactly what I'm doing now, which is chatting to people over the internet. I'm so lucky, without decrying anybody who's fallen to the tragedy of coronavirus. And if you've had anybody affected by it or somebody's died, then obviously I'm devastated for you. But there is a part of the lockdown which has been not ideal, but certainly useful. The fact that I can talk to you, the fact that you're here every morning, there's 50 people watching now, the fact that I've got an audience that can come on. I found out all about doing these shows purely because the lockdown happened. So it just goes to show that you can take advantage of anything. I've now got this experience. If you're thinking, oh, I'd like to do what Carl does, but my job doesn't mean it. Well, my job didn't allow it. Horse instructor, how can that go on the internet? But there, in fact, I'm not even a horse instructor. I'm a rider confidence instructor. How can that go on the internet? And here we are. So I'm more than happy to help with that as well. Anyway, let's keep this social club going. So who've we got? Marbeth. There we are. Just add you into the stream here, Marbeth. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Hello, hello.
Hi.
Hey, I can hear you. How are you?
Yeah, you've got my name right. Thank Mum has a sense of humour. I'd just like to say today, thank you so much. I took on board some of your advice last week. What does a horse do if what you tell it to?
Yes.
I have a 16-2 Irish sports horse. And she's getting a bit airy just now with all the fresh grass. And didn't have a head collar on her, but was rugging her up the other evening, and she wasn't for standing still. We've been teaching her backing up and moving her back end and stuff, in preparation for going back out riding again. And she wouldn't stand still. And I remembered your advice, a horse does. So I pointed to the ground in front of her about 2 feet and said, "Sky, stand there." And she just walked ahead, stood on the spot, moved her back leg out and let me do up her belly straps, and then just a wee cuddle and off she went. We've been doing apple stretches with them to get them supple for ready to go out again. And the next day, my daughter was doing apple stretches with her, with carrots. And when she brought it down to her chest, she tucked her front leg in and bowed right down to the ground and stood back up, and then she got her carrot. She's never been trained to tricks. She's never done anything like that in her life before. And it was all from your advice of, what does a horse do? What you tell it. And you have actually helped me access a new horse. I've had her for 3 years. She's wonderful to ride. She doesn't push through her gates. If we meet something out in traffic, she'll stop and wait for my advice on what to do. We're 200 yards away from the beach. We canter along the beach on a regular basis. But this part of her, I've never seen before. So I'll just basically say thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. That is absolutely fascinating. So let me get this right. She wasn't standing still, and you put even more demands on her, and that brought her right.
Well, I just kind of gave up and said, oh, Skye, look, just stand there. And she just walked into it and stood.
Wow. How super interesting.
I've never known a horse to behave that way. She is a really well-natured horse. Irish sports horse. Has amazing power from the back end when you ask for it, but won't do it on her own. She's a very biddable mare. She's great. Apart from the fact she's pink-skinned with blue eyes, so sunshine's bad.
Yeah, bit of sun cream there. Interesting. I've got a phrase that I've done a couple of videos on, but I don't say it enough, and I need to do it more. Don't say don't and do say do, and it's all about ignoring things. So when somebody is riding their horse and someone's washing the car, and you hear it all the time, even from experienced horse people, and they go, "Nelly, don't look at the man washing the car." And they say, don't do this thing, don't do this thing, and do say do. So the do was trot on, get on, nice and consistent, get on. So it's like you must focus on what you do want and not what you don't want. Don't say don't and do say do. I wonder if when the horse is fidgeting, going, don't fidget, don't do that, don't fidget. Don't fidget. And then you say, well, go and stand there, is a do.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you say that that was...
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Before I was going to go, no, don't do this and come here and blah, blah, blah. Just through your advice last week, it was just like, no, hang on, what do you want her to do? I want you to stand there. And she just went and stood there. Just perfect. And then the next morning she bowed for her carrots. I mean, it doesn't get any better.
That's love. That's really, that indicates that she likes that new arrangement. The arrangement.
Very much so.
The arrangement of you taking the lead. She doesn't have to worry about anything. You're going to tell her exactly what you want her to do. What does a horse do when such and such happens? Exactly what it's told. I'm saying this to the audience now, has two parts to it. Okay, so, Marbeth, I'll just explain what this little bit is. So I've got a rather rubbish joke that goes on my yard. It just reminds me, what does a stallion do when it sees a mare? Exactly what it's told. That reminds me that I mustn't get lost in making excuses for the horses when the horses misbehave, and someone will go, oh, it's because there's some mares over there, that's why he's throwing his head up and calling and spinning round. Well, that doesn't get us anywhere. You've still got a horse throwing its head up and calling and spinning round. But if you have the phrase, what does a horse do when you wash his feet? Exactly what it's told, stand there perpendicular to the wall. What does a horse do when it sees a flapping haylage bale? Exactly what it's told. That has two parts to it. The first part tells me that I should expect the horse to be able to receive instructions and to follow them and not spend my time giving it excuses as to why we're not behaving well, is one part. But the more important part is a discipline on me. what it's told. The implication being, I have told it something. So that's my responsibility, that I must say to the horse, trot on in a nice extended trot, in a nice outline, with your mouth on the bit, with your hind legs under you, nice and regular, consistent. Don't look unless I tell you to look. Keep going from this gate to this tree, which coincidentally is straight past the haylage bales, but I haven't even mentioned that. I'm just going trot on all the way from this consistent bop, 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 bop. So it really does give a big thing on myself to tell it something, and then an expectation on the horse that it will do. So that's worked really well for a lot of people. So if anybody's watching our conversation, Marbeth, and don't know what we're talking about, I thought I better do a summary.
No, it's absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. There's a lot nowadays of people when they're talking about your seat and how calm and still. I think a lot of people take it further to the point where they're afraid to actually move about on the horse. And watching your show has reminded, when I was younger, I had to go at vaulting, and I actually have a longbow. Obviously longbows can't go on horses.
Well, they do tend to poke them in the arse a bit.
Yeah.
Go a little bit.
But as I got older, I got more, or should I say less, able to be that free, comfortable way on the back of the horse.
Yeah.
And funny, watching your programs has really reminded me of that and brought me back in, you know, and it's just, it's great. Just say thank you very much.
Super. Thank you. And thank you for coming on to the show. How easy was it to get on the show?
Oh, very easy. Very easy. Just hit the link.
Lovely. Brilliant. And Marbeth,
thank you.
You were saying that you gallop on the beach. Where are you?
Isle of Arran in Scotland.
Okay. Oh, lovely. That must be lovely this time of year.
It's a beautiful place. It is absolutely stunning, absolutely stunning. If you and Zan ever get a chance, you should come up for a visit. It's a great place.
I've seen it, if that helps. No, I would love to.
Come and visit when you can.
Do us a favour. Get us a video of some beach action.
Will do.
Thanks, Marbeth.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.
That was totally brilliant. Really enjoyed that conversation. That was super. Vanessa says, where do we get our Arena Corner flags from? worldofflags.co.uk. Let me write that in, and then it'll be there for perpetuary. www.worldofflags.co.uk. And they've got all the county ones, which are just super designs. The county ones are better than the national ones, but there we are. Let me bob that on there. Okay, lovely. Thank you very much for joining. No one else is queued up to come into the chat, so I'll assume that's it, unless someone turns up in the next 20 seconds. Thank you very much for tuning in. This has been an absolute joy to run these social distance social clubs. Thank you for everybody who's taken part and taken the trouble to join in. And if this has been of use to you, chances are it's of use to someone else. So please make sure that you make people aware that they can tune in at 11 o'clock every morning, or take the link and share it to horsey groups and such like. Although I do add the condition that you don't actually join in these horsey groups yourself, because they're best avoided. Okay, lovely. Thank you, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.